the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Good morning.
What a beautiful morning it is. What a powerful name the name of Jesus is. His name is the name above every name. And we're here to worship him in spirit and in truth. Good to see all of you. Just a few announcements, of course, that I need to go over before we go on with our service this morning. Ladies, you see in the bulletin, Women of the Church, your business meeting is coming up in 2 weeks, January 22nd. That'll be after church. And we'll also have coffee hour on that day. The poinsettias, there's a few up here, a few in the narthex. There's a few back in the kitchen. If you gave one in love, in memory of a loved one, and would like to take it home, you can sure do that after the service today. We have enjoyed them through the Advent season. Also, January 22nd, this is not in the bulletin, but that day is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and which is a very special day in our nation. We are planning, God willing, to have a guest speaker here that day from the Zoe Care Ministry, I'll say it that way, in Yankton. That is a newer pro-life ministry that's in Yankton. Normally, we've had someone here from the Alpha Center in Sioux Falls, but I believe Rachel Jones, who is the head of Zoe Care, will be with us on that day, and we'll have a special offering for their ministry. So just be thinking about that. That's 2 weeks from today. Also, 3 weeks from today is the annual meeting of our congregation that we do every year and have to do that. So you see it in there. We will have lunch after church, and then we'll go into the annual meeting. I need to read the nominations out loud, as our bylaws state. So Steve Pressler, he served his first term as elder on consistory, and he's nominated for his second term. Steve's sitting right over here. Johnny Whale has been nominated for deacon first term. He finished out the last 6 months of another term, so now he will start his first term. And then Justin Hondel, he will be filling a position. Steve Huber's ending his 6 years, and so Justin has been nominated for deacon first term. So on that note, one thing that's not in the bulletin, because we'll be at the annual meeting having the new Sunday school superintendent, which will be Lee Heckenleibel. He's been assistant, so he steps into that position. If you have children in Sunday school, youth group that age, we need somebody willing to come on the Christian Ed Committee that would be vice chairman or chairwoman. Either one. So, and it would be nice to know that before Wednesday night at our consistory meeting, because we have to make that nomination. So, yeah, I've asked a couple and who haven't been able to, so let myself know after church or soon if you would be willing to do that. It'd be 2 years as vice chairperson, 2 years as chairperson. It's not a scary position. Okay? All right. I think that's all the announcements I'm going to say. So let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, it's just with joy and excitement that we are here today, in our hearts, on our faces. The sun is shining, and you are sovereign over all the universe. In spite of what goes on all around, in our own nation and around the world, which can be troubling for sure, we know that you are sovereign over all and that you rule and you reign. And in your will, according to your will and in your time, all things will come to pass as you have spoken. And so we are here as your children to worship you in spirit and in truth and to praise your name as we've just sung that beautiful chorus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name, what a powerful name, the name of Jesus Christ. And you are our Lord and our Savior. And so in a few moments as we stand and we're going to sing of your greatness again, you are creator of all, the maker of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein. And we thank you that we live in a part of the world that we get to enjoy 4 different seasons and all that comes with it, Lord. So thank you for your presence here, filling this sanctuary. with your power and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to sing number 147, How Great Thou Art. It's so often sung at funerals, but it's so much, and which is fine, but it's so much more than that. So let's stand and sing these words with all of our heart. Praise the Lord. If that wasn't glorious. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Good morning, good morning, good morning. guys. Okay, joys and concerns. Boy, singing like that, I go back to January of 2004, whatever the day was when I came to do my trial sermon, and I said, can we sing How Great Thou Art? I was standing right there, crying all the way through it, literally. Oh my, I have some things here. Jan Nebelsek, this would be Katie Huber's mom. She had received a good report recently. Katie had texted me yesterday morning, still has immunotherapy to go through, but some good news, so we praise the Lord for that. Marvin Gehring, was taken to Samford Emergency last Sunday, right, and he's been there all week and is still there yet. That's a lot going on, challenging time for him, so just prayers for Marvin, certainly. Erna Zabe, she's 95, and her son, Jim, right, has been our sheriff. He just retired, for those of you who don't know Erna. She took a tumble and injured her right elbow, dislocated, and was at Sioux Falls a lot of the week. She's back at the Freeman Hospital right now, having a lot of pain with things. I want to mention Ruth Breeding. She's at our care center here in Menno, and she's one that we look after, and she's been at Avera McKinnon all week as well and is still there. They're trying to get the fluid off her lungs. So lots to pray for. Larry Zabe, he is home after several days in the hospital, doing better, waiting for some results from a test. Let's see. I know I noticed this morning when I looked, Luella Auk's 96th birthday is tomorrow. Dennis is here, so think of Luella. Give her a call or a card and wish her happy birthday. Let's see. Also, Connie Schaefer, this is Galen's wife. She had been suffering with early onset dementia, and she passed away actually... I forget what day it was. What? The third? Thank you. The third, just 60 years old. So it's just a terrible disease. So her visitation will be this evening at Peace Christian Reformed Church from 5 to 8:30. Last Galen told me there is not a prayer service. It's just visitation through that time. Funeral will be tomorrow morning there at 11 o'clock. So prayers for the family. Okay, anything else? I'll start on this side over here. Yeah, Brian. Brian's pointing to his wife, Steph Melhoff. She had a big birthday on Thursday, was it? Friday. So happy birthday, Steph. Happy birthday. Okay. And her parents are here from Selby. I'm glad you guys came. God bless you. Anybody else on this side? Okay, over here. Oh, who's going to? Yes, Marie?
Laura had a birthday yesterday.
Laura Crick had a birthday yesterday. And how old are you?
Nine.
Wow, happy birthday to Laura. Aria. He did. Papa, Grandpa Greg Wilcoxon turned 70 on Friday. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else over here? Is Austin Sokup? And tomorrow's John Sokup's birthday. Okay. Happy birthday, John. Can't quite tell. I think he's back there. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Coming. Brian Gehring has one on Saturday coming up. Happy birthday, Brian. And Willard and Darlene made it to Apache Junction yesterday afternoon safely, so we praise the Lord for that. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. It is important. We are family, and we lift up the joys of birthdays, certainly, the excitement of that, of all ages. Thank you for blessing these individuals. We thank you for being with Willard and Darlene and Terry as he took them down there to Arizona safely. We ask that you bless the rest of their winter there in the warmth of Phoenix. Lord, help us not to be jealous. But thank you for watching over them. Lord, for these several in this battle of cancer, there's many I named and many more I didn't. We lift them before your throne. Thank you for Jan Nebelsek and the good news that she had this week, and that you help her through her continued therapy. We pray for Marvin, Lord. Just we pray that, Lord, for a breakthrough there of healing in his life, that he'd be able to take in the nourishment he needs so desperately. We thank you for guiding the doctors and nurses who care for him so diligently and faithfully. Just lift him today and let him know that we're praying for him, and fill that room with your presence where he's at. We thank you for Erna Zabe, for healing in her elbow and just renewing her strength. For Ruth Breeding, we pray the same as they try to get that fluid off of her lungs. And many more. Larry Zabe, we thank you that he was able to come home, and we just trust you for your work in his life, and Marge as his caregiver so faithfully. I lift up an unspoken, Lord, and you know who I mean, someone that emotionally is going through a very, very great, great struggle. I just pray for this one and the family, that you lift this person out of that darkness as it can seem, for you are greater than all. Thank you for filling that one with your spirit and refreshing. For Galen Schaefer and his family, as they gather this evening, and many of us will be there too, to give our sympathies and prayers at Connie's homegoing. Lord, we know she loved you deeply and served you faithfully. Thank you for receiving her to yourself. Thank you that she is completely healed and whole now, just rejoicing before your throne in heaven. We pray for them. Lord, for all this region still dealing with the effects of the large snowstorm we had early in the week, we thank you for neighbors helping neighbors in so many ways. I thank you for the one that came and cleaned out this church parking lot with a big tractor and loader and just helped that process along. Lord, especially those with the livestock, we know the complications and challenges are just multiplied with this amount of snow, and guide them and be with them. Our highway workers who are so faithful out there in the early morning hours and throughout the day and all kinds of the bad conditions, keep them safe. Our first responders, Lord, as they have to respond no matter what the weather is, we just lift all of these to you. Thank you for watching over them, Lord Jesus. And those, any others, factory workers and all that have to be outside in the weather, keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for all of these things. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. I've read this verse many times, but you know, you can't remember them all, can you? I came across it recently, and it fits so well for today. Jeremiah 9:23. I know in your bulletins it says Romans 12, and I didn't get that changed. That was last week's. This is what the Lord says: let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Isn't that a great verse? Jeremiah 9:23. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer in place of the doxology today, so if you'd stand, please, we will sing that. Our Father, which art in heaven. Lord, it is in you that we boast all the day long. Not in our own wisdom, whatever we think we have, or our own strength, or our own wealth, but in you, in Christ alone. It is in you that we live and move and have our being. And so we bring our offerings and our tithes into your storehouse with joy in our hearts. For you are our God and our Father. And we ask you to bless these gifts and multiply them for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. What do you want?
Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's awesome to see you all. I have just a little thing to show you today. You got to get it ready. So, yeah. I'll tell you about that in a minute. What's this?
Basketball.
Who likes to play basketball? Right. Who plays it at home with their parents or siblings or relatives or neighbors? Who plays it at school and on a team? Yeah. Well, there's one thing about basketball, though. Just like any sport or anything that we do, how do you get better? How do you grow stronger and be better in basketball?
You play it.
You play it over and over and over and over and over, right? You keep doing the same drills over and over. You dribble, you pass, you make baskets, right? You don't just do it one time and then think you're going to be a pro, right? You do it again and again. Well, what about growing with God? How do we grow with God? We all know this. Tell me something. We pray, yes.
Read the Bible.
Talk to Him, exactly. You got something up there? Do you have something? We love Him, right? We love Him. And sometimes you might say, Ann, you tell us that all the time. I'm really getting tired of it. But do you know why we tell you that? Do you know why I tell you to read the Bible? Because I want you to grow. And I want you to know without any different other thought how much God loves you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what hard thing is, you are not alone. And you are, and God loves you. And not only does He love you and He's going to be with you, He wants to bless you. He wants to give you good things. Do you believe that? Oh, there's a few. You believe that. Okay, well, listen to what I'm going to read to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to this. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's going to give us more grace?
God.
What's He going to give us? More grace and peace as we grow. And He's telling us how to grow in our knowledge. That means doing all the things you told me. Growing. Doing it. Just like basketball. Doing it every day. Okay? It kind of reminds me like this. My little experiment today. Okay? I made the table shorter so you can see it down there. All right, so this is what I'm saying. This here, these vases represent us. Okay? Let me get these right. These are us, okay? When we do those things you said, when we pray, when we read the Word of God, we are like putting into us God's Word. God, you are going to help me. There are such things that I don't know if I can do, but by your grace, you're going to do it. You're going to help me with that hard thing in school or hard thing at home or whatever it is. I can't do it on my own. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. But with you, I can do it. I'm reading your word and memorizing it. And when you do that, you are putting God's word in you. This is like God's word, okay? And then, guess what happens? God comes along. He comes along. Whoa! And He makes you grow. And He fills you with Him. And not only does He fill you with Him, but He fills you to overflowing so that with grace, this is like grace. That's why I made it green. Grace, He overflows you when He fills you. You get so full and you can give it to other people. You can tell them about His grace and how much He loves you, okay? And this one over here is peace, okay? Grace, peace, this is us. Oh, God, I have some situations in my life that are hard. I'm lonely. Somebody just died. My pet just died, and I cannot seem to get peace inside. You know inside when you're just all angry or you're just upset? You know how that feels? But, God, your word says you are my peace. Your word says when I look to you, I get that peace that I need. Your word tells me, God, I am never alone. You're always with me. So this is what, like, you're doing. You're putting God's word inside of you. Guess what? Who comes and makes it grow? God does. This is peace. Ooh, that didn't come up quite as much. Whoa! All right. There it comes. There it comes. Then His peace comes and it fills you, and it's like you get peace inside. It's like you get calm inside. And again, you have peace and grace to share with other people. All right? So, are we going to believe God?
Yes.
He says if we grow in Him, He will give us this. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word that you've given us, and you help us to understand it, even as little children. To grow, we have to keep doing what you want us to do, and you want us to be blessed, and you want to love us, and one day we're going to be in heaven with you. It's all for these wonderful things that you want us to grow in your word. I pray these boys and girls this week can do that, can read their Bible more, can pray and talk to you more, and can tell others about your grace and your peace, and that they would experience that in their lives too. Bless them wherever they go, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Leah, I'm going to.
Thank you, Ann, for your experiment. Maybe Johnny, could you help? Oh, I guess she's okay. The men's quartet is going to sing two specials here.
Thank you.
Glad that's over. More nervous about that than anything else today. Thanks, guys, and Jennifer for working. It's fun to sing, though, the four-part, whichever it was, together. Let's bow our heads, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness, Lord, for your presence, which is so mighty here today, your power, for your word, the everlasting, ever-living Word of God, that your Word is forever settled in heaven, and we know that. And by your Word, you strengthen us, for your Word works effectively in each of our lives and hearts and minds. So as we look into it this morning, again, I ask that you'd speak to all of our hearts, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here and those that will listen later online. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So coming into the new year, if you were here last Sunday, you know we were back with Joshua and his challenge to the people of Israel before his death, where he said to them, choose you this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, period. And so I had been praying even before Christmas, even through Arizona, okay, Lord, what? Where are we going in the first of the year? And so I had last Sundays, and come to Monday, I'm like, okay, Lord, any time now. And Tuesday, oh, Father, be nice. And I have to tell you, Wednesday morning, I came over to a voicemail on my phone, well, I'm not going to say who, from someone who said, you know, I was just reading this passage in 2 Peter, the first 11 verses, and that's going to be my life verse for this new year. And so I opened it up and read it, and I thought, that's my answer right there. That's my answer, because it ties in with last Sunday, and it's all about our growth in Christ. So praise the Lord to that one. Thank you, and thanks to the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we go. Just for FYI, we're only going to be in the first four verses today. There is so much in this passage here. I can't even begin to go through it all, but parts we will. So first, the Apostle Peter, just a little bit about this letter. The second epistle that he wrote. He was very near his death, and he knew it. He knew he was going to be put to death for his faith in Christ, and he was, and I'll tell you about that in a second here. But this is, and how do you know that? Well, if we'd go on in verse 13, where I stopped, but I'm going to read it to you. This is what he's saying to the people then. He says, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside. When you put the tent aside, that means you're dead on this earth and off you go to heaven. I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Now, he doesn't tell us how Jesus made that clear to him, but he did. He did. And some, I've known some people over the years where God has shown them, clearly shown them, when the day of their passing was going to be, and it was. But so how did Peter die? Maybe some of you know. This comes not from Scripture, but from the early church historians. All right, so the guy, his name was Eusebius, one of them, one of the historians. I want to read what he said. Before Peter was crucified, he was forced to watch the crucifixion of his own wife. Imagine that. As he watched her being led to her death, Peter called to her by name, saying, "Remember the Lord." When it was Peter's turn to die, he pleaded to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to die as his Lord had died. And thus he was nailed to a cross, head down, and he died. And this was under Nero. Nero was the emperor of Rome at that time. So just a little history there. Let's go to verse 1, though, of the passage. Again, Simon, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. First of all, it should be obvious to all of us, I would hope, that word received. Who have received a faith as precious as ours. We know our salvation is a free gift. There is nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it or buy it or any or work for it or anything like that. It is absolutely free. Ephesians 2 says, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It is the what? The gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. So he's just repeating that to him right off the bat. Your salvation is a free gift. All you have to do is receive it, and it is precious. King James says the phrase, it is a like precious faith as ours. And it is. What could be any more valuable to us than our faith in Jesus Christ? Nothing. Not all the world's riches, nothing compares to the value of our faith. But these verses, among other things, but what I'm going to focus on, he's talking to the people about growing spiritually. If we grow spiritually in our lives, in our walk with the Lord, that affects every other area of our lives. It affects our actions, our words, our emotions, our relationship with our family, our relationship with those we work with. It all flows out of our growth in Christ. So it's important. And Peter was very concerned about the spiritual growth of those he was ministering to before he died. That's why he's writing this in the second letter. Guess what he says in the first letter, of verse chapter 2, verse 2. What does he say here? Same vein, listen. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. In other words, the word. So that by it, you can grow. You can grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Naturally, newborn babies got to have the nourishment. The milk, however it comes, right? If they're not taking it, that's always a big concern for a newborn. Sometimes they have to have that feeding tube up in the nose and down into the stomach. We've seen it. Probably know. Maybe some of our little ones, former little ones here who are now kids, had that. Because it has to be there. And so in our lives and our walk with Christ, it has to be there. So the same way Peter's challenging them and us today was the same way Joshua last Sunday, as he knows he's about to die, he's challenging the people of Israel, choose you this day who you're going to serve. You got to serve somebody. Some people might say, well, I don't serve anybody. I serve myself. That's not true. They might think they do, but it is not true. You're going to serve somebody, and he says to them, you're going to serve those false gods of your forefathers beyond the river? You're going to serve the gods, the false gods of the Egyptians? You're going to serve the false gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living? Or you're going to serve Almighty God, the one true God? And of course, their answer was, we're going to serve the Lord. And he really hit it hard. He hit them hard. Verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, what Ann did with the kids, that was a great illustration there. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. In abundance, again, here's the phrase, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's where it starts. It starts is our relationship with him, of course. If we don't know him, then we're not even in the picture here of today. But once we know him, then the growth begins. So the question is, so how do I get from where I am right now? If you're filling in your blanks, how do I get from where I am right now to where God wants me to be? That's what he's getting ready to answer. We got lots of New Year's resolutions, probably. I haven't asked anybody what yours is. I'm not real big on those myself, but if you listen to statistics, you know they only last typically about a month. The fitness centers are packed full after January 1st, and the diet companies get all the phone calls after January 1st, and we try, right? But we got to grow spiritually. It takes work, takes effort, takes determination to grow in the knowledge of God and his word, and that's where it begins. Because, so first, God gives us everything. He says that. He gives us everything that we need to grow. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge, there it is again, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. I think one thing about this verse is Peter doesn't start out with telling us or the people he wrote to at that time what they need to do. He starts out by telling them and us what God has already done for them and for us, right? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's done it. He does it. That power. But you know, think about these things. We always, in the natural sense, encounter people who just run out of power in one way or the other. I was thinking about a couple examples. One, our cell phones, okay? Maybe you've texted somebody, let's say that, or called, and they haven't responded for a day when they usually do respond. And finally, they do, or you see them face to face. I texted you 2 days ago, and you didn't even respond. Oh, I know, my phone ran out of power, and I didn't know it, and it took me this long to charge it up, right? Ran out of power. Maybe you got your to-do list of all these things that you want to get done today or tomorrow, and you get going on them, mark them off, it's feeling so good, and then maybe your wife or your husband says, did you get the list done? No, I only got it halfway done. Well, why? You know what? I just ran out of steam. Couldn't do it. Ran out of power. I was thinking last winter, I didn't look up what month this was. I sort of forget, but we had that extreme cold stretch, remember? And the power grids were being pushed to the limits. Thankfully, we share with all North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, I think Oklahoma, which, you know, I never knew that before. But Texas was by himself. And remember what happened down in Texas? All those things froze up and homes and water pipes, and it was a mess because they ran out of power. Well, God's power, my point is all sufficient. It never runs out. He is the all-powerful one over all the universe. So you can never say, God isn't giving me enough power. No, he is. He says he is. It is his divine power working in us. And so he's going to, more next week, get into the things we need to do. But it's sort of like with farming this year, as we saw. You guys, you can do everything you know to do in the natural, preparing that soil, even in the fall, over the winter, the cover crops, the nutrients, the fertilizers, the all the special hybrids of the seed. But if God isn't doing his part, then not much is going to happen, is it? We depend on him entirely. His divine power. Second, gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything, he says. He didn't say, I'll give you 80%. No, he said everything. We take out loans, house loan, whatever kind of loans, and usually it's okay. You come up with their down payment of 20, 30%, and the bank says, and then we'll work with you and do the rest. No, God says everything. He has given us everything we need for life, just our natural lives on this earth. As we interact with people, as we work every day, and our jobs can be hard and trying and stressful, physically, emotionally, and often we can say, I just can't do this anymore. But hopefully, in the midst of that, we're calling out to God and maybe saying this verse, Lord, your word says, according to your divine power, you've given me everything I need to do this for life, my natural life, and godliness. What's the godliness part? Living according to his word, being obedient to his word. We can't do either thing in life or godliness on our own. What? How does it come? Letter C, if you're filling out. Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. That's still in verse 3. His divine power has given to us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through the knowledge of him, what were you created for? Number one, to know him. All the way back to the Garden of Eden. That's why Adam and Eve were first created, to know God as their Father, to fellowship with him. And they did. For how long? We don't know exactly in that garden. But we know from Scripture that they walked and talked with God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, because after they sinned and the fellowship was broken, we see that verse. God came to them in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? Well, he knew where Adam was. But he wanted the confession from Adam. What have you done? Right? We know all that. Did you eat from the tree I told you not to? Well, you know that woman you gave me? It's her fault. She gave me the fruit, so I ate. What am I supposed to do? No, what he was supposed to do is stand up as a man and say no. God said no. That's what he was supposed to do. That's a whole another sermon, isn't it? No, he wants us to know him through our knowledge of him. That's how, and the greatest way that comes, as we know, as Ann always tells the kids, as I always tell you, is right here through his word. That's how that knowledge comes. That the verse I read at offering was right because of this. Listen to that again. The Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this. What? That he understands and knows me. That's what God's saying. Number one, that we know him in the knowledge of him. So we focus on that. That's our challenge, I'd say, for this new year. And it's always our challenge that we work on growing in our walk with him. We focus on making him the priority of our life. That's what you're doing. One way you're doing it, a big way, by being here this morning. Because there's so many things nowadays that pull at our lives on weekends, on Sundays. It is not, as far as the secular world, Sunday morning is not a special day anymore in our nation. And it makes me very sad, very sad. So anything and everything, as you know, is scheduled on Sunday mornings across the board. And it pulls people every way. But you have got to be determined. That priority, making sure that we're in relationship with him. We can't just know about him. We have to know him as our Lord and Savior. Let me finish, go to verse 4 here. He starts out, through these. Well, what's these? You got to ask those questions, right, when you're looking at the word. Through these, well, on one hand, through his let me find verse 3. Through his own glory and goodness, yeah. But I looked in a lot of different translations on the start of that verse 4. The one I settled on was the New Living Translation. I just like how it says it. It says it this way. And by that same mighty power. Okay, going back to the start of verse 3, which said, by his divine power is given to us all that we need for life and godliness. Verse 4, starting out, if you read it that way, and by that same mighty power, his divine power, he has given us his very great and precious promises. There's that word precious again. So that through them, that's the promises, you may participate in his divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. Is that amazing or what? That God himself, the creator of this universe, wants us, you and me, to participate with him in his divine nature because he lives in us by his Holy Spirit. He wants us to participate with him in his plan on the earth for this time in which we live. Whew. That sort of makes you tremble on one side of the picture. On the other, it's very humbling. But he wants you to participate with him on this earth, in leading people to him, in praying over people who need healing or encouragement or whatever it might be, in being filled with his Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, whatever the situation might be. I'm going to throw in this example here. It's just this week. I think it fits as far as with this part. That through them we can participate in his divine nature. This goes, all you football fans, NFL, maybe I know not of you all are, but this has been on the news a lot. You know, Monday night's game between the Bills and the Bengals, and that guy DeMar Hamlin, you saw how he was hit. It just happened to be at the right place at the right moment. Falls down, gets back up, takes a couple steps, and kabam, in cardiac arrest. So if you know the story, I mean, they worked on him for, was it 9 minutes or 10 minutes or something, and CPR and all of that. Got his heart back going and off to the hospital on a ventilator for till I think maybe Thursday or Friday. But the part I want to bring to you is this. Someone was giving me these updates through the week, which I appreciate because I didn't see this. But the commentator, an ESPN commentator, the person that sent me this said, when do you ever see anyone praying on ESPN or any of the major networks for that matter? You don't. And I saw the clip of it, and this guy, if you haven't seen it, this guy's, I mean, it shook the NFL world. And this guy is so overcome with emotion that commentating, he just says on the spur of the moment, I don't know if this is allowed, but this is what I'm going to do. Live on air now, let's pray. And he goes to prayer for this guy. A pretty powerful prayer. Praise the Lord. He didn't care if he was going to lose his job or what on that deal. And I don't think he did. I think he was widely applauded, and that's not why he did it. Standing for God in those moments. Sort of took me back to I suppose it was probably a couple basketball seasons ago right here in Menlo when our own Logan Clout had that brain tumor, remember? And it was whatever the game was, it was a night, I think they were getting ready to go to Mayo Clinic, I don't know all the details, but I was asked by our athletic director, Pastor Mike, this was before the game, home basketball game, would you lead a prayer at whatever point between these two games in the gym for Logan? I said, yeah, I would love to do that. But I'm praying how I'm going to pray, though. So you okay with that? You do what you want to do. And that was just pretty awesome. And I had people from both teams coming up after, thank you so much. I said, thank so-and-so. She's the one that had the idea and asked. So he has promised, I'm trying to wrap it up. You might be saying, I wish you would. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you. That's how New Living says it. Caused by evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature. Okay? This was 2,000 years ago, close, when this was written. There was decadence in the world then. There has been all along. There is today. It just see it today with all this media that we have, which there can be great things about it. But there's a lot of bad things about it. It's just in our face, nonstop in our face, and which makes us stand stronger. Boy, it sure should, right? We had to dig our heels and we stand. We stand in faith and we grow. Next week we'll pick up the steps we can take as we'll go on with this passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, you are so amazing, Lord. You've given us everything. It's hard to even imagine that. Your divine power, through your divine power, you've given us everything that we need. For life, this life on this earth, and to live a godly life on this earth. So help us to grow in our knowledge of you and your word. That is our prayer and our desire for this year as this local church. Thank you for everyone here today, Lord. All the families, young and old alike, the young families that make it a priority to be here with their children and their youth. When I know many places not far from here, it's not the case. And I thank you for that. Bless them, guide them, protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn. Well, it is a hymn, but it's in the praise book, number 23, In Christ Alone. Give me a second here, Jim. Let's stand together. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This warrior storm, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and consciousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, the wrath of God was satisfied. Every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Amen. Glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid. Please receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. I pray that you're refreshed and recharged. I am. Thank you, Jennifer, for the music.